Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 163. This is part two, How's Your Own Vineyard? Today is Sunday, September 5th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop Pastor Paul's Mall online, groceries at vons.com. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to go to PastorPaul.org and check out the interactive links at the top of the homepage. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast, where you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, Janine@PastorPaul.org. Be sure to join us every week on Friday for part one and on Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. This is the lineup for the month of September. How's Your Own Vineyard? God's Hope for Feeble Saints. Beware of the Evil Tongues of Lying Lips. The Fork in the Road. We'll have a great month of September, the beginning of fall. Beautiful in Minnesota. If you come here to visit, be sure to give us a call at Pastor Paul's. God bless you and have a great month.
Know how sweet it is, and I'm not mocking anybody there. I'm not pulling a Jackie Gleason. But I'm saying how sweet it is when you decide to keep the Lord's vineyards on that job, your own vineyards that God has given you. And so she went down to see if the vines flourished and the fruits had flourished and budded, and they had. But also she arises early in the morning with her beloved to go out into the vineyard and to watch the growth of the plants. In other words, she's walking out in the cool of the morning to check out the growth of things with her beloved. Later on now, let's go on with this, we find her talking about all kinds of fruits that she has laid up for her beloved. Oh, it's so beautiful. So now we start to realize the way to keep the vineyard is to walk with Jesus Christ. Isn't there a song? In the cool, cool, cool of the evening. Tell him I'll be there, something like that. And it's the only way to keep the vineyard is to walk with Jesus Christ and to serve him. And serve him with all of heart and mind and soul, the Bible says. I think a man that takes on other work and neglects his own, I'm talking about God's work, that he can use this text, listen to it. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. Aren't there a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of things, but yet hardly doing anything? Busy, 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 doing nothing. Fussing, nervous people. Probably leading 14 different movements, busybodies, but yet not right within themselves. God hasn't called them to keep all these other vineyards. Mine own vineyard I have not kept. Your work that you've given me, Christ, to do, I haven't kept. Take us then, the little foxes, the spoil of vines. Oh, yes. But oh, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, and blow upon her garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Oh, I need a witness. That's like a politician before election. Oh, can't they do everything before they're elected? They know it all. They have all the answers. Taxes? What taxes? We ain't going to have no taxes. Budget? What budget? Allow me to erase it. It's non-existent. Jobs for everybody. There's going to be a chicken in every pot. Trouble is, you can't pay the gas bill to cook it with. Higher pay and so on, and all the very many promises that they make. I mean, they should sell this secret that they have, but they're going to give it to us for nothing. And I think many of the very highly gifted can look after many, many things and yet are neglecting their own vineyards. And the vineyard that they neglect is their very own heart. So many times we are so busy dealing in other people's vineyards, other people's hearts, we don't have time to check our own heart out. Isn't it great to have a talent? It's great to be influential, but it's better to be right inside of you. I mean, that's real hell when you're not right within yourself. Well, how about public opinion? I'm not talking about public opinion. I'm talking about being right within yourself. Today I picked up some food in this got a hold of this food, and I start going through this food, and there was something in there that shouldn't have been in there. My hands touched on it. It was meat. And I said, "What is this?" And the guy walked up to me. He says, "I want you to shut up." And I said, "Why should I shut up? I am guilty of nothing. This is stealing. I don't want no part of it. Don't you want to feed the poor?" No, I would be a poor one to feed the poor if I be a thief. I ran that stuff back in that freezer so fat, and then this man was so mad I thought he was going to knuckle sandwich me right between the eyes. I'm keeping my own vineyard. Ooh. How many hearing this message tonight? They neglect their own heart. Why not pull the weeds out of your own heart? Why not water the good in your own heart? Oh, God. Remember years ago we used to have prayer meetings and kids would come to the prayer meetings in droves. And they would have mothers that would go to 50 meetings a month. And they weren't at a meeting, they were in a prayer closet. And all you could hear was mom mumbling in some kind of a closet. They get on to sort of spiritual trips. Meetings and meetings and more meetings and coffee meetings and more meetings and 10 prayer meetings a week and 5 hours a day on the phone and 3 hours of radio listening on the radio. Oh my. 3 hours of Christian TV, I mean their whole day. Books on how to have faith and God doesn't want you fat. God loves you. There's just more of you to love. I remember some years ago, my dad, he was a little guy. He would probably weigh about 145 pounds. My mother weighed about 180 pounds, and he looked at Mom, and he says, God gave me plenty, Mama. That's what he thought of her. All these books, Prosperity and Six Easy Trips, I'm almost done here. Formulas for Christian living? Should I submit to this bum? Steps to prayer? Oh, all these are great, but how about your own vineyard? How is your own heart's vineyard? And don't worry about somebody else's vineyard. What is your character? What are you cultivating in it? How about hoeing your own weeds and allowing the little foxes in? How about that? But parents, are you an influence in your house or a slave to your kids? A lot of parents are slave to their kids. Are your children vile? And you say not one word to them and they sass you and you don't say one word to them and do you pray for them at prayer meetings and come back and tell them, our prayer group prayed for you. Well, you need to start weeding a little bit. Tell your kids to shape up. I had a woman in here and this daughter, she was just ragging on her ma, you know, and going on. And she was carrying on with his mother. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. I said, sister, how old are you? She says, I'm 50. And I said, why don't you run away from home or something? Just make it easy on everybody. You know, just get out. See, your mother's had a nervous wreck. She's ready for it. She's ready to frazzle out here on the floor. You know what I mean? Just take off. She really doesn't need you at all. You're going to cause her to have a nervous breakdown, see? You know what she ended up doing? She went out in the kitchen. She worked out there for 4.5 hours. You can call it whatever you want to call it, reverse psychology or whatever, but my God, this woman was white in the face, ready to pass out, and here was this 15-year-old girl ragging on her and just giving her a hard time. And so some outside influence, somebody, you know, that had tended other gardens, had to come in the vineyard, had to say, hey! Knock it off! Well, I think a lot of times parents ought to take their color crayons away from their kids. Know what I mean? Until they learn how to use them. And you know, don't make it so people, when you ring the bell and they say, oh my God, here they come, and the kid just tears the house down. I think we need to wipe their noses and change their diapers. That we need to give them a bath and comb their hair and spank them when it's necessary. And let them call it child brutality if they want to. How about parent brutality? Come on now. Now about teaching them a little respect for other people. Don't work yourself to a frazzle in someone else's vineyard and neglect your own. Isn't it funny that after we raise our own children, we can just tell everybody else how to do it? We have it down. Sometimes couples that have a baby is only about 8 months old, they'll tell people how to raise a family. They've read all these books, see? That's like a mechanic who keeps up all the other cars and keeps them all running well but his own. Oh, and there's so many women running around now with special revelations from God, praying for their husband to catch up with them spiritually. Oh, God. God, have them catch up with me. So boring to talk to. Let me tell you something, gal. Stop overworking the colonel and go on home and make a good meal. That's the truth. You see them all over. They'll walk in and they got all the Jesus loves you on the bumper stickers, and they're in Colonel Sanders down there every other night picking up 21 pieces of chicken. What's become of it? Hey, I mean it. You know what I mean? I'm going to have cooking school down here. We're going to teach people how to cook. You know what? A lot of people think potatoes grow in cans down here. I got a load of 77,000 pounds of potatoes, and a woman looked in the back of the trailer. She says, well, they're all dirty. I said, my God, woman, they come out of the ground. I said, I ain't got time to have ulcers. And besides, I don't like milk toast. See, you got peace when you're doing the will of God and you're minding your own vineyard. Girls, you don't even know your husband. You don't even know your kids. Go on home and eat with some of those strangers you live with. Introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Mom. And who might you be? Oh, I'm your son. Oh, I don't believe it. How old are you? 15 years. It seems like only yesterday you were under my feet. See, they go in a hurry, don't they? Doesn't seem like very long ago that I was a young dad. Doesn't seem like very long ago that I was pulling Debbie up out of the crib. No, it doesn't seem like a very long time ago. It doesn't. And yet, it seems like an eternity when I look back. Depends on where I'm at. If I'm standing in front of the mirror, it seems like an eternity. Oh, and this man, why, you must be my husband. Let's see now, what is your name? Let's see. The last time I saw you, I think we were on a march on Washington. Or was it before my visit, my 13th or 14th visit to the Lord's tomb? Or was it seminar number 9,000? It's pretty sad, ain't it? Pretty sad. A woman called me, she says, I am going to Iowa and I'm going to see the Pope. I says, the Pope won't see you. You'll be way out in the middle of a plowed field someplace. And I said, did you pray before you went out there? Does God want you to go? Well, ask him. Well, I know he wants me to go. Well, I says, how do you know that? I got money for the bus tickets. She called me back. She says, oh, what a trip. I sat out on a bus way out in the middle of a cornfield, way out there. Keep mine own vineyard. Oh, God. Stop being galloping gourmets. Phantom diners. You ever seen this thing that has a guy with his coat collar up and his hat, and he's the phantom diner? There's a lot of people like that that go to church. They're phantom diners. They come in, they go from one church to the other, and they phantom dine. And they'll go out and say, well, this is what I had, and it was very tasty, and the full course and dessert was great, and so on like that. I'll give that about a 6. Well, I'll give that about a 7, or I'll give that about a 1, or I'll give that about a 10. And they're not busy keeping their own vineyard, what God had had them do. Oh, God. Oh, yes, are you saved? I guess that's a message that, you know, it's kind of boring. Oh, golly. Hey, if you don't ask in a message and you don't have the gospel message in every message, it's not a message. You're listening on the radio. Are you born again? Have you come up out of darkness? How is your heart? But oh, let me close it. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. God has called you to a vineyard. What kind of an excuse have you got? What kind of complaining do we have? Are we busy keeping someone else's vineyard? You know what? If you're busy looking over in someone else's vineyard, there's weeds popping up and sneaking up. And you'll go back home, you'll be full of weeds. You start keeping your vineyard and be a fanatic for the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me tell you something. You'll have a whole lot of helpers. You'll have a whole lot of helpers. But you keep right on in the vineyard that God has given you to keep. That vineyard is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Above all the other things, when you look back on your life, what have I done for Christ? What is my excuse for leaving my particular ministry? Well, this happened and that happened. That has nothing to do with it. Look at all the weeds in the vineyard that I trusted to you. It's kind of serious, ain't it? Well, it is. It is, because you won't have no peace unless you keep on with what God has told you to do. You won't have no peace. No. Well, you're going to have all kinds of sleepless nights till you get right with God in what He's had you to do, and you make no excuses. None. I would have no excuse. Like I said, I made a decision this summer. No excuse, Paul. They have made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. Oh, God. You want to try to sleep with something like that? You can't sleep with something like that. You got to start laboring for the purpose. And that purpose has got to be Jesus Christ. You know, and all the other things are lesser issues. They really don't matter. All things are lesser when you start to look at Christ. Well, it's Bible, isn't it? Yeah. It's going to take a little bit of dying in this end time ministry to really go out and follow Christ with all your heart and mind and soul. Yes, it is. Because I'll tell you what, there's a laziness and there's a sluggardism in the church and there is a complaining that's going on that is so ungodly, I don't believe it. And we'll pick up on one excuse or another excuse and praise God for this ministry down here. Really do. I would be so bored right now to be back out in the suburbs, out there on Noble Mountain, or out there in Happy Valley, or out there in Praise and Do Nothing Valley, or whatever, versus doing what God has called us to do, take care of the vineyard. Isn't that exciting? Well, for sure, it'll be the challenge of your life. When you get up to heaven, they're going to say, Betty, Joe, Pastor Paul, this is your life. And they'll open up the book.
Hello, this is your old, someone you knew back in Catasauqua, Iowa. Oh, yes.
Oh, that's my teacher.
Yes, you remember when you did all those things back then?
And then a voice is going to come, where were you when you should have been tending the vineyard, the one that I gave you? Where were you when I was sick? And where were you when I was a widowed? And where were you when I was a hungered? What are you going to do?
Well, I had to take care of myself. It's dog eat dog out there. And then I had this family, the bigger self.
See, family is a bigger self. That's all it is. Magnification, multiplication of yourself. You take a look at your family and their little yous running around. You want them to continue on in this great thing that you started in self. Carry on, take off where I left off. Carry on the family name. And then in England, they used to have all these emblems and shields and garbage they used to carry around. Their emblems? Junk. Say amen, somebody. My God. And here it is right now. God has given us a vineyard. What excuse have we got for leaving it? None. Absolutely, positively, there are no excuses, no exceptions, none.
Oh, I can think of,
well, go ahead and think of a few then. But I'll tell you right now, there are none. None. Unto death. God. A guy asked me the other day, he said, well, you know, following Christ, did you still have fear? I said, well, the one thing I had fear of was dying before I come to Christ. And I always tried to prove, even in the army, that I wasn't afraid of it by doing stupid things. But now I'm not afraid of it because I'm dead to that. I'm dead to dying. See? And in the end, you're going to have to be dead to the comments of people when you finally lay down your life. I mean, lay it down. Lay it on the line for Christ. When you finally lay it down. And when you start to do things, not worrying about, you know, the opinions of folks, and you start to get into what Christ wants you to do, you're going to be ragged on.
Oh, God, I don't know if I can take it.
You can take it by the grace of God. That's the only way you're going to be able to take it. Because when God starts to move, there's a Colosseum spirit that comes. Come on now. What do you mean Colosseum spirit? When you're in the center of the ring, and you got this great big old ball with this great big spikes on it, and you're out there and you got this great big meat hook with this net and all these kind of tools out there for taking down the devil, the Colosseum spirit of all the spectators will be going, whoa, down. Say amen, somebody. But it's my testimony to you, if you're busy keeping your vineyard, God will keep you. You are kept by the power of God. He is the one that will keep you. And he says, I will keep on keeping you unto that hour. There's no way you can lose your salvation. Well, if there was a way that you could keep it, then you wouldn't be kept by the power of God. You'd be kept by your darling self, by your long Shirley Temple curls and patent leather shoes and sweet smile. That won't get you into heaven. No, what gets you into heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your personal Savior. Well, you mean you can be meaner than hell? No, no, I didn't say that. When you get to heaven, you're going to be judged. You're going to have a great white throne of judgment. Yes. And the judgment comes on the things you did not do and the complaining you did while you're in the vineyard.
Well, I have to do all the work.
What work? This is the work of God. Say amen, somebody. I'll tell you right now, it is so exciting following Christ. Oh, it is. Isn't it, Joseph? Are you enjoying your job, Joe? Now, Joe is so beautiful. I says, you talk in Jamaica. You talk in, what did I say? In what? Calypso. Good morning, Mr. Paul. I'm going to pick up the bread. Going to pick up the bread. Pick up the bread. Yes, I'm going to pick up the bread. So, here he is, Mr. Calypso himself, picking up this bread, all the way from Nigeria. I got to show you my... Go ahead, give him a clap there. Oh, yes, I am nuts, as a matter of fact. Well, the Bible says, Job, be a fool for Christ's sake. It does. Just be as foolish as you want to be. Just love the Lord and let everybody know about it, see? Don't you ever be ashamed of it. See, I love Jesus, and that's the way it is. Huh? God, I want to thank you for these beautiful people that you've brought my way tonight. I want to thank you for the radio audience and tape audience. I want to thank you for all the wonderful people that have been helping us out. God, I just ask that you bless each one out there, Lord. Bless them, Lord. And we're praying right now that the kingdom of God just moves on and up. Oh, my God. It's so exciting following you. God, we just pray for a great revival in the city here. God, we pray for the finances of this church right now, Lord. Bust loose. Thank you, Lord. Bless each one here tonight. In Jesus' sweet, precious, mighty name, help us to keep those vineyards, Lord. In Jesus' name, that you have entrusted to us before the foundation of the world was even founded. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with your tea.